Good evening, everyone. It's good to have you with us tonight and to get back, kind of get back into the routine of things, so to speak, and to realize and understand the significance of opening the book and studying to show yourself approved unto God. It's a wonderful opportunity, and I enjoyed the weekend, last weekend, for the conference. You know, these things seems to give me more questions than they do answers, but I think that's the way it's supposed to be, that, you know, to study is a wonderful thing that the Lord has given to us, that we can expand our mind to that extent that we, you know, can share with others our thoughts and views, and they with us. And that's how you grow, and that's how you you come to that greater knowledge, because the unsearchable riches is just that. It certainly is. And going back over Hebrews again, I've come to realize and understand that this has been a great teaching experience. It's was written for some that had not understood what their calling was and God's plan and purpose. And these people that Paul was writing back to was some that didn't, that wasn't too old, or maybe they had lost their ancestry in the trip in the wilderness and coming into the looking for that knowledge of God that was to be theirs. And Paul makes it quite clear that he has went back over this and seen that they had need of somebody to teach them rather than for them to teach somebody. And so here we are in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, where we're going to start again tonight. And this is lesson number 37 in our study. And tonight's date is the first day of May, 2019. And, you know, it kind of grabs you sometimes how quickly a month comes by, you know, and or even a year as far as that goes.
It don't even go by. It don't even go by slow enough to grab me anymore.
No, it's something else. But you know, we went through the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the what we call the faith chapter, and to Paul was showing those people that he was writing to there the need to understand what those people had gone through. And now he is teaching another lesson here in chapter 12. And chapter 12 deals from 12:5 through 24 deals with chastisement. And he uses the symbology that, you know, if your parents, loved you, they would straighten you out. And God does the same thing. He can straighten you out. And so we're talking here about, chastisement and the duty to endure the chastening that, that happens quite often when you get straightened out one way or the other by your father or by your parents or either by the Lord. And so we're going to start back at 5 because we wound up, it's through the 7, but we're going to go back and pick it up because this is a good place to start back. And to realize that you shouldn't despise the fact that God straightens you out from time to time. And it gives you also the encouragement to realize what's going on and to understand that it is a proof of love rather than something to be shunned. So we're going to read 5, 6, and 7, and then our lesson really starts in 8, but to make it the continuity run true, we'll start back with 5. It says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children." And this is a quote. I think it's from Proverbs 3:11-12. It's been 2 or 3 weeks since I've done these notes. So after sitting for 3 days and listening to these other guys teach, you know, you sometimes it kind of slips on you because you're thinking back so much. It says, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." And in verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." And I'm not sure that we made clear verse 7, and we'll just basically start with this. And it says, "If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" So he's talking here about enduring chastening. If you endure or suffering patiently for this discipline that Paul is talking about there, this chastisement or chastisement, it says God dealeth with you as with sons. And that dealeth there is the word 20 times translated offer. But the notice says in this verse it is passive and means to do business with or to deal with. So this is a little different wrinkle on the word there that's used and talks about offering several times. Now it gets to dealing with in this instance. It says, "For what son is he whom the Father disciplines or chasteneth not?" And this is a mark of sonship. It's and it's positive. There's nothing negative about it. It's positive. If God is dealing with you, it's kind of like you've made an agreement with your dad that if you two are in some kind of involvement, you know, and your dad lays down the gauntlet as to what needs to happen, then, you know, you need to follow it regardless of what it is, because it is he that is allowing you this opportunity. And it's truly, a mark of sonship and a mark of love. You can't get around it. But it says in verse 8, "But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. So it gets to be some plain talk here. The plain talk is, well, you know, if you're out of the way with your heavenly Father, then you're truly out of the way. He won't take but so much. But the way that thing works, it says, but, and it starts with but, which Paul does many cases in his other writings, but generally it's a but now. But here, it's a but if, or on the other hand. That's the but that's here. Now on the other hand, if ye be without, and this is to have not, without chastisement, and that word chastisement is, in the Greek, I think it's paideia, and it means discipline. And, it says, whereof all are or have become partakers. That discipline, reaches through all. God requires certain things, and part of it is discipline. And to follow His will, because, you know, sin is to miss the mark. Well, if you don't follow that situation, then what does that lead to? See, that leads to the missing of the mark. So, it says, then are ye bastards or fictitious? And, I think the Greek word there is nahas, and that means to be not sons. Because you can be a son or you can be denied what a son normally gets. You know, we talked about in going back to some of these things, you know, when we went back and we looked at Moses and what God dealt with Moses and how Moses was having a time dealing with the people in the wilderness. And, they were told to go into the traveling church,
tabernacle.
And, you know, to wait on God to pour the Spirit out upon them because He was gonna divide up, the gift that He had given to Moses. And, one of the guys come running in and said, well, these two guys out here in the group said they're prophesying too. And that kind of got, with Miriam and Aaron, that kind of struck a note there that, you know, they weren't involved in that. And so when Miriam got to, fussing about it and, murmuring, that's what I call it, murmuring. Well, then God struck her with leprosy. And it says, and God told Moses to put her outside the camp. It's like a father that spit in his daughter's face. And that was part of the discipline that evidently the children of the Hebrew children had this deal. If the father spit in your face, that you got to live with the servants or you got to live outside of the home for a period of time before you could be brought back into good grace with the family. And that's just not a rare occurrence. Now, the leprosy was a kind of a rare occurrence, but the fact was that this was God's way of showing how important it was to be chastised and the chastisement can really be bad if God chooses for it to really be bad. So that was a kind of a study within itself, I think.
Unfortunately, the father gets to choose the whipping, right?
Yeah. And so they didn't go anywhere until Miriam come back to within the camp and she didn't have it anymore. So that was God giveth, God taketh away. And so they didn't go, they didn't move while she was outside the camp.
Adjusted.
Yeah. So that's an adjustment there that needs to be, and needs to be, understood. And I think we went to the right place to get that message to do that as we go on here. And I really hope that, you know, that kind of stuff sinks in as we go along, because all this is here for our understanding, that we can understand what God's will is. And then you get down to verse 9. And it says, furthermore, or also. That's kind of the English version of also. Furthermore, we're going to add something to this. Okay? In verse 9 is, it tells us this. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Telling you quite a lot of information here. So it says, furthermore, or and also, we have had fathers of our flesh, our parents, is who he's talking about here. To them, their parents, which corrected us or kept those within bounds and subjections. And that's hupostasso. And it says, and we gave them reverence. Full stop. This is not a semicolon here. It is a full stop. That rest of that verse could have been another verse. Because it is it's a kind of like a parenthetical insertion. It's put there for a learning experience. Not to explain something, but a learning experience. Once you get one of these full stops, there's a learning experience that follows that.
Amen.
And it says, shall we not, or should we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, or these new created sons, because he is giving to these Hebrew children, he is giving to them sonship. That was why he chose Abraham and Abraham's seed. That sonship that they inherited, that bloodline that comes from Abraham on down through the line, was supposed to do the work of the Lord. It was supposed to do God's bidding. It says, talking about sonship and life, and we're talking there about and live. He's the Father of spirits and live. So our parents could certainly take our lives, but generally out of love, they don't do it. They stop in less things than that. But here you have the Father of spirits. You have the Father that has great power, and he has the power of life or death.
That's an interesting way of Paul putting that. I've never heard him use that anywhere else.
No. But that's how important it is.
Yeah, it's gotta
if,
be
a if you're going to have a learning experience, mm-hmm. it needs to get to the nitty-gritty, and the nitty-gritty is either life or death. You know,
I've never heard him call the Spirit the Father of spirits.
Yeah. So he's the Father of spirits and live. So the question is, you know, how important is it to live? He could, you know, when we're dealing with the Lord and in those terms, you know, he's the righteous judge. And it says in verse 10, that, and this is something that I used to laugh at a friend of mine that helped me raise my kids, and we hunted and fished together and done all these things. And he was an army colonel, and he had been in World War II and had a lot of situations that he is involved in, and that's how he got his rank, because a lot of them got killed off around him. So, he got the rank by field, by being the leader in the field, I guess. But he always had a habit of saying, when talking and when you beat him in something or got the upper hand, he said, you got Jewish percentage. And I often thought that was rather unique in thought, but, you know, knowing that he wasn't that religious as far as that goes, but it seemed like that he knew that God's chosen people had a leg up on others, so to speak. So in reading 10, it says this, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasures." And I think that's speaking about our fathers here in the flesh. It says, but he now is changed from our fleshly fathers to our heavenly Father here. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Is that not Paul telling these younger Hebrew people that they have Jewish percentage? That's my thought. I had to bring it out, but that was, that's kind of the way I was looking at verse 10 here. It says, okay, "For they are earthly fathers, verily for a few days," and we're talking about their lives here, and if they were coming through the wilderness, and if they murmured, a lot of them didn't have many days left, because God dealt with that, and that's part of the lesson that these people may have not have seen. or understood. They might have been very, very young. For their lives, they chastened or disciplined us after their own pleasure. After they thought, after they did it because they understood or they had their own understanding of what was right and wrong concerning God. It says, but he, our heavenly Father, for our profit. And you got to look at who he's talking to here. Our heavenly Father, for our profit, that which makes us richer. Maybe not in monetary wise or money wise to those people, but they had things in their veins that would be, one day would be exchanged, I think, for the blood of the Son of God. Abraham's blood worked for them. That's what they had. And they got this stuff. They got these promises. All these things they got because of who they were. That makes them richer. To the end that we might be partakers in light of eternal life, of his holiness, because that's what eternal life is. God lives forever. And that holiness he can impart to each that are his true sons.
Amen.
He is our prophet. Everything else is like Solomon said in Proverbs, everything else is temporary.
And vanity.
Huh?
And vanity.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, this also tells us a lot in 10. And we get to 11. And 11 is, Paul is telling him that it's can be grievous, but there's a reason for the chastening. It says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyful or joyous, but grievous. So he says, you know, it's going to look that way to you. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So, you know, in order to receive that profit, sometimes you have to go through a little stuff that don't seem to be too joyful. And it says now, or at this time. So that's how verse 11 starts. No chastening or no discipline for the present time seemeth or looks like or it feels like to be joyous or of joy, but grievous or of grief. And here is another full stop. So we've got a learning experience that comes on after this. Nevertheless, or afterwards. So he's giving it to you in a time frame.
You can't understand the the good and the need for a whooping while you're getting the whooping.
That's right. But afterwards, the lesson has been given and it sinks in. When you're rubbing your rear end, you know, it's a little different thing. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit. Of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby or trained. But I wanted to look at James and I got all my notes things messed up and I wanted to go to James 3 for just a minute. Chapter 3, and I wanted to look at 17 and 18, the last two verses in chapter 3. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is to first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruits of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So this is what we're talking about here when it says they are to be exercised thereby. They are to be trained that way. That if you're trained and you understand that chastisement brings about the things that God wishes you to know and to do. And so I didn't want to leave that out. That was, when you talk about righteousness, you're talking about to be just or justified or just or justify. And then we get to verses 12 through 24. And 12 through 24 is counsels and encouragements. So, I don't know that we'll get to 24, but we'll go as far as time will let us go. And it talks here about the weak. And when I wrote these notes, I had to stop, take off my glasses and wipe the tears out of my eyes. Because it hasn't been that long since this verse of scripture hit home with me. For 7 years I took care of my wife in a down situation. She was not able to fend completely for herself. And this is 12 and 13 is two verses that struck me in the heart. I have learned the lesson. And I hope that I have come out a better person by learning the lesson. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. In my wife's situation, it was the feeble ankles that she had. Because with her situation of balance and depth perception, she had given her ankles a hard journey during her life. So, to be trained from verse 11 in James that we just wrote or read about a while ago, that peace and what that brings about, that understanding that they are some that has to have help. And I understood that. Because of this training, that's the wherefore there. Lift up or hold up by your strength and my strength the hands which hang down, these limbs that God has given to us that sometimes doesn't work like they're supposed to. And the feeble knees. For those who need help to walk. And add to this, 13. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And I tried to do everything I could to heal the lameness of my wife, but I could not do it. It was beyond me. But the things that you can do, it says to make straight or to straighten out these situations. You know, that's the reason we have these laws for these handicapped people that can't do for themselves. Remove the stumbling block from the paths, the ways, or the directions for your feet, lest that or those which is lame. For we do not take this life's directions alone. There is always help that's needed. And you don't want the help to be turned away or out of the way from sharing the journey and where I always went, I wanted her to be able to go to. But let it, or this journey that we're on, rather be healed or easy for all to walk. And I can't help but think about that situation. And it's hard to have someone that you can't help, but we need to do what we can for them, that for those who can't help themselves. Let's go to 15. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. 15 is a another lesson that Paul is bringing forth He says, looking diligently or without ceasing, lest any man or anyone fail or to come short of the grace of God. Lest, and the word there is me. And I don't know how to pronounce it the way it should be pronounced. Lest they do not wish to know any root of bitterness or an evil growth springing up or sprouting up or germinating trouble you, and therefore many be defiled, using evil things knowingly always is against God's will. Well, I've made a note in the back of my notebook, which pretty much, and I've done this months ago, talks about lest any man fail of the grace of God, any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. We can put it another way. We can put it as hatred. And hatred is something that Satan uses in lots and lots of cases, and people can't get over it. But here's what I wrote. Hatred always corrodes the vessel that contains it. It is like the worst kind of acidic product that you can get. And hatred is the worst kind of product that you can have in your body. But guess what? Love is the saving ingredient that can keep you forever. And that's God's love that He showed on the cross when He gave that blood for you and me, that blood that was better than Abraham's blood. It was the blood of the Son of God. And that blood can overcome that hatred because, you know, and I've told people looking back, I know now why the situation between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the Son of God showed up in the second chapter of the book of Genesis. Because there was enmity there. There was a warfare going on between God and the Godhead and Satan. But God allowed Satan to enter into this new creation because we needed to know the difference, I think, between good and evil. And we also needed to know what hatred can do and what Satan's deal is. And so I wanted to add that to the 15th verse. Because many can be defiled by what you spout forth in hate. And we're in the love business, folks. We're not in the hate business. To be a son of God, you need to exhibit the kind of love that Christ had for his people, for those that he had chosen so long ago. Verse 16. And we're talking here about Esau, going all the way back to Esau. It said, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Well, there's a lot here. And this is Esau's failure for food, to have something to eat. And if you think that you're not going to make it, and you've got a problem that food will straighten out, then you can see why probably that this happened. Dr. Greenblatt, they wrote a book that he operated on my sister-in-law a couple of times. I carried her down to Augusta, Georgia, and and Greenblatt, that's Jewish. That's a Jewish name. I don't know whether he believes the word of God or not, but he wrote a book and took the things that he could read out of the Old Testament concerning the problems that they had. And he came up with some pretty good answer for this. He said Esau had blood sugar problems.
That makes sense.
Because what he swapped for is the red pottage, for what he swapped his birthright for was to live, basically. What's a birthright good for if you're going to die?
If you ain't going to make it.
Right. So it says, lest, okay, and Esau, he did not want or care to know about God's rule. So Esau wasn't really interested in the things of God, as Joseph, his twin brother was, Jacob was. So, he was always out hunting and rambling around and doing things and a lot of things he wasn't supposed to do. And God was hopefully wanting to keep or planning to keep the bloodline clean and free, but that didn't go with Esau because he married two women that was not of his family situation. So it says lest. So Esau didn't care about God's rule. There be any fornicator, and a fornicator is 4205 in the Strong's, and the word is pornos, or porno, which means a male prostitute, or a profane person, as was Esau. So that's how God looked at Esau. He's off dealing with these wild women. Wicked women. So, and profane there is 952 in the Strong's, and it means crossing a threshold wickedly. Now think about that, you know. You're going down the street and here's a house of ill repute. Well, if you cross that threshold, you might be in the wrong place. You might need your dad to come and get you.
Need that chastised.
You know, yeah. It says, who for one morsel, and a morsel is 1035 in the Strong's, and it means eating food for sustenance, a morsel of meat. He was looking for that protein. He was looking for that that would give him strength again to live. And this is what Dr. Greenblatt said was wrong with him, that he had been out goofing around, and he come home about dead. And he knew if he didn't get something to eat, his birthright wouldn't be any good to him. So he sold it to his brother for something to eat so he could live. The protein. So he sold or yielded his own birthright, his proper inheritance. He just let it go for something to eat. I don't know. You know, there's, we had a friend that he could get in bad shape by not having the proper food. And I've seen times that I didn't know where we could get him back or not. But, you know, he was a juvenile diabetic, and, I guess if he had been left alone, long enough, he may have not have made it. And that might have been the reason why he didn't live as long as he did. I don't know. But this was, you know, you learn things in your life as you go down through life. You see things and you learn things. And when you get back into God's Word and you read, then you can see and you know, put that in perspective. And we'll go through 17 and we'll stop at 17. It says, for ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Full stop. Okay. We're going to learn another lesson. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He couldn't go back. He had went too far. And by hook or crook, he didn't get the birthright that he was really supposed to get by law, because he was the first one of the twins out of the birth canal. Okay, let's look at 17. For you know, or you understand, how that afterwards, or looking back, because we have the story, we can look back, when he would have inherited the blessing of his father, his earthly father, and his heavenly father, because it was God's will that Jacob would get the blessing. He was the father of the 12. He was rejected or disinherited. Why? This is the rest of the story. This, for he found no place of repentance. Esau sought to change his father's mind about this. Though he sought it carefully, or having sought carefully, even going as far as tears, he went and he cried to his earthly father. But the heavenly father would not change his mind. And I know this is a kind of a hard note to stop on, because that's not good news. But it was God's will. And we're talking about chastisement here. We're talking about counsels. We're talking about encouragements and how to do things the right way. So when you look at that and you look at this and you realize that this is a learning experience. And Paul was telling these people, he talked about faith, and then he got away from the faith and talked about the others, and he talked about the other things, and he is giving a great lesson here in life. And it's a lesson like a kid with his dad or his parents. Yep. And that kid in association with the Heavenly Father. And that's a wonderful thing. And we're all in a learning experience. And so therefore, we all need to heed what's said in all these verses of Scripture. Even if it's written to another group of people, we can still learn from this, because this is the way God now, He deals with us as adopted sons also. And so it's just as powerful to us as it was to them. Thank you for the hanging with me, and you don't have to agree with everything I say, but the fact is that I've lived a long time in this life, and it's, some of it is learning experiences that I can relate to. And when I look at things like helping the ones that can't walk and helping the ones that can't get around on their own, that has hit my life as it has hit others of the saints that I know in a way that I'll never forget. I'll just never forget it. And may God bless you. And thank you for spending your time with us tonight. God bless.